Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in Everyday Truth. We're in the book of Luke, and we've called this series of episodes the Facts Behind Our Faith. And what you love about the book of Luke as you study it is the book of Luke is a book filled with proofs, evidences to validate not only the earthly ministry of Jesus, but also his claims to be Messiah. And even a casual observer has to admit that this book is well put together, historically accurate, and points to one irrefutable fact, and that is that Jesus is whom he claimed to be. So Luke chapter 6 is where we are today. We left the disciples being criticized for breaking the man-made Sabbath applications that the religious crowd had come up with, and Jesus dealt with that. And so Jesus answered their concerns and gave some great Bible examples using David, taking prerogative himself as the Lord over the harvest. And what I want to do today, Hannah, is I want to jump into the rest of this little section that deals with the Sabbath. It's Luke chapter 6, we're going to read verses 6 through 11. So my friends, if you're not following along, just listen carefully as I read the word of God here. Verse 6, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered." I love the detail that Luke gives. His right hand was withered. "And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man that had the withered hand, 'Rise up, stand forth in the midst.' And he rose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' And looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, 'Stretch forth thy hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed with one another what they might do to Jesus." This, Hannah, is one of my all-time favorite miracles in the life of Jesus. I mean, this is, to me, not only because of the miracle itself, but just because it's just so cool how Jesus deals with these critical people.
And it's crazy to me that they just keep coming at him. I mean, at the beginning of the story, you can see that, I mean, the Pharisees knew he was able to heal. I forget exactly how it's worded, but
they were watching to see whether or not he would heal. Right. It wasn't a question whether he could.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a question of whether he could or not. I mean, they knew he would, but they were just waiting to try to trap him. And they watched him closely, but didn't have any love for him. And then it just made me think, like, we can watch Jesus by, you know, the things that we do and even going to church and such, but have no love for him. Don't actually have that relationship. We can watch him, but not truly have that connection.
And even admit, that's a really interesting thought, because then we'll look at Jesus, even admit, oh, he has power.
Right.
But still question his motives.
And admit that he can save me as he has saved me. Yeah, but.
Wow. No, that's a good thought. What's interesting to me about the story is that they've not come off the Sabbath day thing. So this is the third Sabbath day that's being referenced in seven short verses. And it's almost as if this has become such a sacred cow to the Pharisees that they can't see any issue without putting on the lens of the Sabbath day. So you know you're a one-issue Christian, and you know that you have become legalistic even in your sanctification when you look at every issue through your one lens. You know, for some people, they look at everything through that one standard or through that one application, that one man-made rule. And that's what they did here with the Sabbath. They were looking at everything through that. Their Sabbath day observance was everything to them. And they were more concerned that he would break their law, not God's law. It was their application. Break their law on the Sabbath day than they were about a man who couldn't even use his right hand. Think about how low that is.
And that's crazy. And like you said, they don't even realize probably the seriousness of the situation, that they're putting their preference, their standard above a human need. Because when you're looking through a lens, you can't see outside the lens. Obviously, you're looking into it. There's nowhere. That is all you see. And if you do not step away from it, you will not see anything else.
When you're a critical person, you're always going to see what you're critical about. You're always going to see just that to the exclusion of everything else. You talk about being blind. That's exactly what they are. And it's interesting how Jesus deals with all of this, because the law, by the way, to backtrack for just a moment, the law was that healing, and in their case, even applying medicinal help, even a priest declaring someone to be clean on the Sabbath day was a no-no, because they called that the law of external application. You can't do that on the Sabbath day. So healing, I don't care if it's a miracle, can't, no miracles on the Sabbath day. I mean, think how ridiculous that is. But so Jesus, he doesn't shrink from it. He has the man stand up in the service. And if that's not enough for the attention, he has him reach out his hand.
Which is a miracle before the miracle, because he shouldn't be able to do that.
Well,
really?
Well, he probably reached out his arm. So I don't know that that itself is a miracle, though I'd never really thought of it from that perspective.
Right.
But he reaches out his hand, and there's his withered hand. And think about that man. Okay, so if you had a physical deformity, your tendency would be want to hide that. You don't want to be noticed for that. You know, you've seen people maybe that have a skin condition or a deformity to a part of their face, or maybe a birthmark at a place that it's visible, and people want to wear a long sleeve shirt because they don't want you to see it on their arm or whatever.
Because they don't want to be defined by that.
So Jesus is asking this man to do something very public. And Jesus knows exactly what's going on here. He knows the thoughts, which is a scary thing for everybody that has a duplicitous critical motive. And something that we need to all remember is that Jesus knows why we tweeted. Jesus knows why we said. Jesus knows why we're at church. Jesus knows how we look at people. He knows all the whys. So Jesus knew their thoughts. And Jesus, he said, I'm going to do this. The thing that you're watching me closely to see if I'm going to do, I'm going to make no bones about it. I'm going to do it right in front of you. And he does that. And before he does the miracle, think about this. Jesus was masterful at making a person think and come to a conclusion by asking a question. So the question to me here is masterful. So question, is it right to do good on the Sabbath day, to help people, or to do evil and not help people? Think about that.
He's very good at provoking the mind.
And what possible answer could they give? So the Pharisees knew that they couldn't say, well, you know, you can't do good on the Sabbath day. They knew they couldn't. They would alienate themselves among the people.
He got them at their own game. That's what he did.
He really did. So when they had to begrudgingly say, well, you know, do good, then Jesus does good. He does exactly what their answer is. And these people are just beside themselves. Instead of seeing the good that Jesus did and accepting that, what does he do? What do they do rather? They run out of the room and their entire motivation is, how are we going to get him?
And their explosive reaction, they're like you said, how are we going to get him? They actually had plots of murder. I mean, their reaction was so bizarre, so extreme, and their thoughts and their actions were way worse than what they were accusing him of on the Sabbath.
That's a great point. Yo, I can't believe that you would heal somebody on the Sabbath day. What a horrible sin. We're going to kill you. I mean, think about the hypocrisy there. If you'll look at the parallel passage in the Bible, what you'll find is that they left that synagogue service, and not only were they planning to kill Jesus, what they might do to him, but the Bible says they got together with another group called the Herodians. Now, the Herodians were Jewish people that were faithful to and supportive of the Herods, like Herod the Great and then eventually his sons. And they were not popular among the religious crowd. Matter of fact, the religious crowd and the Herodians, the Pharisees especially, and the Herodians were at odds. They were like oil and water. And yet what's interesting is their common hatred for Jesus brought them together. You know, hatred creates some pretty strange bedfellows.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So think about these people that, as you said, Hannah, they're so focused on their one little man-made law. They can't see helping people. They can't see the nature of Jesus' ministry. They can't see their own hypocrisy. They can't rejoice in the healing of this man. They can't have any joy. I mean, their whole life is dominated because they've bought into a man-centered, petty application of religion as opposed to a transformative relationship with the Jesus that not only wanted to help withered hand people, but wanted to help them.
Well, I definitely don't want to miss out like they did. That's for sure.
For sure. And friends, I hope that you won't miss out. I hope that you'll always look at the Bible for what it is, the story of Jesus, the story of man's need, the story of Christ's sufficiency, the story of the transformation that you and I can have only through him. So I hope that'll be your meditation for the day. I appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to having another conversation next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.